Thank you, Vicky. We always appreciate the heart and the spirit that that Vicky brings to our worship services, and what a blessing she is. Thank you so much for being a blessing to myself and so many others. Hey, listen, look around. Give somebody a wave. Say, give them a good morning smile, and not that one that looks like you've been eating green persimmons or anything. Not the one that says, this has been an unusually hot and humid year. Amen? Man, I'll tell you one thing, we know the sweat glands are working, but we're trying to keep things adjusted in here so that people can be comfortable. I think one of the greatest conquests in life is when you have a group of people together to try to set the heating and air at everybody's comfortable temperature. You know what I've learned? I've learned that's impossible to do. So what we try to do is we're running the comfort index of 72 degrees. That's where we are. Now, if you happen to be one of those that's cold, you look around, you'll see there are some Afghans in the seats back there. Feel free to bring a blanket or a jacket with you. I know you might look a little strange when you walk outside and it's 95 and you're wearing a jacket or a sweater, but it'll all be good. We'll still love you. Amen? And if you're too hot, you just gonna have to grin and bear it because you can't take anything else off in here, all right? So anyway, we're so glad to have you with us today as we prepare our hearts to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're part of our online audience, again, we welcome you today. We're so grateful for you to be here. I'm going to say hello to Ernie. He's up in the booth today. He's learning some stuff in the other building upstairs on they've kind of switched places. We got Don down here and Ernie upstairs learning the various moving parts that kind of make our service work for broadcast purposes. And as always, if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. He is there. If you have questions, you can feel free to ask him. He's flying under the banner of Central Baptist Church. So if you ever wanted to put a name with that, that is Dr. Cazito. And I'm so appreciative of all that he does to make our online audience feel as big a part of our church as you can. Know you've got a voice here as well. So as we begin today, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time, and may all that we say and do honor and glorify Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful that we do have the opportunity to be able to come into your house to gather together with your people, like-minded brothers and sisters. And Father, today as we come, I pray that each and every one of us have done so anticipating a word from you, Lord, seeking a blessing from your word. And Lord, not only just from your word, but Father, also through our voices, we lift up song to you. Lord, as we praise you today, Father, I just pray that what we do today won't be out of habitual process. Lord, I pray that it won't be so mechanical. I pray that in just a moment when we begin to lift our voices to you, that it would come from our heart rather than just simply from our lips. Father, today, help us concentrate upon the words that we speak to you and also the words that you will speak to us. I love how your word puts it in the book of Revelation. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, and we will be so careful to give you praise, honor, and glory for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing number 14, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear
Thank you all. Vicky's making her way to the piano. Let me say, we are starting choir practice in 2 weeks on the 3rd. It'll be at 4:45 in the afternoon. As you can see, we've got plenty of room on the second row, next to Sandra there. So we'd love to have folks, if you just think about come checking it out, you don't have to stay, you know, but we'd love you to stay. So anyway, that's in a couple of weeks, and you'll see two new faces. We've got Darren and Melissa Wickham from Texas. We met back in college, Darren and I, and he and his wife are here, and Melissa will be singing shortly for us, so we're grateful to have them here. Please join me now as we sing Worthy of Worship.
Amen, man. What a praise. What a praise song. Amen. He is truly worthy. Yeah, today, I had the chance just a moment ago to have the opportunity to meet Melissa, and I got a wave at Darren, right? Got a wave over there with Darren, but so glad to have them with us today. As Brad mentioned, they met, you said it was college in Dallas, Texas. And there we go. I was in Dallas for the convention this year, and I love Dallas. I have always enjoyed going there. I will say that it is kind of like, it feels kind of like the entrance of hell is what I imagine, because it's hot. Because it's hot. Don't get me wrong on that, because it's hot. I'm talking, you step out and almost spontaneously combust in Dallas, man. It's just, it is rough. But we are so blessed and privileged to have them. And I'll do a soft dance because we're changing a microphone, apparently. right? There we go. You guys take care of that, and I'll buy some time here for just a minute. But at any rate, we are so tickled to be able to have them with us today and to join us here at Central Baptist. Not sure what brought you to North Carolina. I pray for you if you're putting up with, you know, with Brad. And I don't know about his bride, you know, but with Brad. But we're so privileged to be able to have them with us today and to be able to share their talents and abilities with us. And I am looking so forward to hearing Melissa as she comes to share in song with us today. And I know our hearts are going to be blessed. Melissa, would you come share with us?
The more I know your power, Lord, the more I'm mindful how casually we speak and sing your name. How often we have come to you with no fear or wonder and called upon you only for what we stand to gain. God forbid that I find you so familiar that I think of you as less than who you are. God forbid that I should speak of you at all without a humble in my heart. God forbid. Lord, I often talk about your love and mercy, how it seems to me your goodness has no end. It frightens me to think that I could take you for granted. Though you're closer than a brother, you are more than just my friend. God forbid that I find you so familiar that I think of you as less than who you are. God forbid should speak of you at all without a humble reverence in my heart. God forbid. You are Father God Almighty, Lord of Lords, your King of Kings, beyond my understanding, no less than God forbid that I find you so familiar that I think of you as less than who you are. God forbid that I should speak of you at all without a humble
Amen. Wow. God is good. And all the time. Oh, mercy. Today we're going to be looking at some passages of scripture that come out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. 2 Kings, chapter 6. I believe that each and every one of us have these moments in our lives where it seems like we're walking through what we often identify as dark places. You know what I'm talking about? You know, where life seems to be going good, and then you seem to go through these valleys. These valleys that become turbulent, these valleys that become dark, and there are times when that fear somewhat grips us. There are times that even in our walk, we get to the point where we feel like that we cry out to God and we wonder whether or not He's listening. There are times that we get to the point where we feel like we are facing insurmountable odds. And in the midst of facing those insurmountable odds, we feel like we are facing them alone. We feel like we're facing them by ourselves. Maybe there's been a point or a time in your life when you've gone to the Lord in prayer and you have been genuine with Him. And you basically have said, Lord, I'm upset. We never get upset with God, do we? But you say, Lord, I'm upset. And the Lord would say, "What? Why are you upset with me, Roy?" I'm like, because I'm calling out on you and I don't see you. I don't hear you. I don't feel your presence. So, Lord, I feel like I'm out here twisting in the wind. And see, Satan likes to get us at this particular point to start having doubts in our hearts and in our minds as to the reality or the validity of who God is. He likes to do that to us. And yet, what is it that God has told us? What is it that God has shared with us? He said, I am with you always. Always. Not just in the good times, also in the bad times. Not just in the times of light, but also in the times of darkness. And when you walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, when you walk through the darkness of this thing called life, we can rest assured that through Christ, God is with us. We might not always hear Him. We might not always see Him. But let me make you a promise today. God is there. Now, that's what our scriptures speak to today. Look with me, if you would, 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 15. It says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, we ask that in the stillness and the quietness of this moment, Lord, as our hearts have been prepared, as we have worshiped you today here, the stage is set. Father, I know you are here. Your presence is felt today. And Lord, as we have gathered, we have done so to hear from you. And Lord, if we've gathered for any other reason, I pray that we might make our focus about you for these next few minutes. That Lord, we would hear from the Holy Spirit. Because Father, if we're still and quiet in your midst and in your presence, we will hear from you today. You have told us that if we ask, we will receive. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. So today, Father, speak to our hearts exactly where we are. You know exactly where each and every one of us are. So Lord, speak to us in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the valleys, but Lord, also in the midst of the daylight and on the mountaintops. Speak to us today. Father, I pray that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone would be high and lifted up. Lord, we pray that anything that might distract us from being able to hear you today would no longer be present. Lord, run it off of this premises. And Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. So Father, bless our time as only you can, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this particular passage, it's always good to understand a little bit about the historical context of what's going on. So this passage is actually set in a time of conflict between Israel and Aram. And that's modern-day Syria, if you're tracking in your maps or want to know where that is. But see, the king of Aram is very frustrated by the prophet Elisha. Okay, that's not Elijah. Now, like I said, my southern accent kind of makes it sound like I'm saying the same thing each time. This is Elisha, S-H-A, okay? So the king of Aram is frustrated with Elisha, and the reason that he's frustrated is it seems like Elisha always has the ability to predict his military moves. And so what happens is, because he's upset about this, he sends a very significant military conglomerate to go capture him down in Dothan. And this is where the story begins to unfold. We got a mad king. You know what happens when kings get mad? Let me put it plain and simple. People die. You know, if there's any sort of competition, kings would just wipe them out. So Elisha is on the king's radar. Simply because it's almost like, well, Elisha's giving away my battle plans, and he's foiling everything that I have in store for this situation. So I want you guys to, with a show of force, to go down there, and I want you to capture him. You know, bring him back, you know, kill him. I don't know what the order was, but we know that they went after him, and they did so with a tremendous show of force. Have you ever noticed that what happens in situations like that, often people start flexing? You know, and people begin to start to sum up those who they're coming up against. You know, as a police officer, if I had to deal with anybody, you know what the first thing I did was? I kind of sized them up. Is that the right term? That's a good old country term. I sized them up. I thought, if I have to whip this guy, can I whip him? If I look at him and I said, you know what, I don't think I could whip him, my next thought was, how many more do I need to whip him? You know, because there's a lot of people in the world that have the right to remain silent. They just don't have the ability. That's what I found out more often than not. They just didn't have the ability to do it. And yet what we've got is a show of force. And oftentimes, if we showed up in numbers with a show of force, they'd sit back and say, I don't know if I want to tangle with these boys. They seem like they know what they're doing. And sometimes it's done just to intimidate. And I believe that's what the king did at this particular point. He takes this gigantic army. Remember, he's going after how many men? One. And yet, he takes this huge military army that, by and large, has been successful. And they show up in great numbers, okay? Now, the text reveals to us a moment of fear as well as divine revelation. You see, Elisha's servant is terrified upon seeing these enemy forces that have surrounded them. Now, if I was in a situation like that and all of a sudden I'm hanging out and somebody who is against me surrounds me, you know what? I'm sitting there thinking, this is not going to be good. I don't think they're here for coffee. I don't think they're here to have a casual conversation. They are flexing. There's a show of force. And guess what happened? Elisha's servant had the natural reaction that most of us have when put in a situation like that. And what reaction did he have? Fear. He was afraid. You know what I've said before? There have been times in my life when I've been afraid. And you know, that's okay. I think something that the Lord taught me early is that a little bit of fear is okay, because a little bit of fear keeps you focused. But when fear petrifies you and when fear grips you, it is no longer advantageous to what's going on. Fear in my life kept me focused. But I also learned the word courage. Courage didn't mean an absence of fear. Courage meant doing what you were supposed to do regardless of whether or not there was fear. But here's something else I want to point out to you today. You know what God has said so many times throughout his word? Are you ready for this? Don't be afraid. Fear not. We, you know, I actually preached a series one time years ago on that back at Christmas because of all the fear nots around the Christmas story. You know, when the angel gave Mary the news that she was going to be with child being betrothed to Joseph, remember what the first thing he said was, Mary, fear not. Don't be afraid. And then when Joseph learned what was going on, I mean, this guy's crushed, man. His heart's breaking and everything else. And what was it that the angel said to them? Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. How many times does God say to us, fear not? You know why? Because fear and faith cannot cohabitate together. If there's fear, then there's some faith lacking. Now, you notice what I said before. I said a little bit of fear keeps you focused. By the way, there's also a fear meaning reverence, that we're to fear the Lord. We sang about that earlier. That doesn't mean to be, in my West Virginia term, that don't mean be scared of God or scared of him. What that means is to reverence him. He is a holy God, and he is to be revered. See, I think too many times we forget about God's holiness. You know, God is so holy that man cannot even look upon him and live. Remember what God said about that ark? Don't touch it. Remember what it was. It represented the presence of God. God also gave very specific directions on how the ark was supposed to be transported. And they messed up transporting it one time. Y'all remember that? It wasn't supposed to be transported on an ox cart. Supposed to be transported on the poles. It was supposed to be carried by, you know, the priest of the tribe of Levi. It was supposed to be all these things. They didn't do that. And it says that the ox stumbled. And when the ox stumbled, the load shifted, the ark shifted. And the natural reaction from Uzzah was, don't let this thing fall off of here. And he reached up and touched it. And what happened? He is no more. You don't touch the holiness of God. There needs to be that reverence, that fear. So Elisha perceives an unseen army on their behalf. The prayer that Elisha offers is this: Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Man, this is a pivotal request for some divine insight beyond what is natural. You ever been in some circumstances and situations in your life when you're sitting there thinking, Lord, I need a little supernatural going on here in my life? Now, I want you again to get the picture. Elisha and his servant are out here. There's nobody else with them. There's two of them. There's this gigantic army, numerous, that has gone out there and has surrounded them. These are fighting men. Elisha and his servant have no idea what the intent is. They don't know whether the intent is to kill them or whether the intent is to capture them or whatever. But either way, it wasn't a good intent. And that was something that Elisha and his servant knew. You know, basically, it was like that, looking at each other and going, you know what? It ain't good. We're not in a real good position right now. We are surrounded, and I don't think these boys want to come down and just have some casual conversation. I think that they're here maybe even to do us harm. So Elisha, here's something I love. You know, when I look at this particular passage, at times I would sit back and say, Lord, you know, I really would like to be a little bit more like Elisha. Because I'm not. I'm going to confess that. You know, I'm more like the servant. Remember the servant? What are we going to do? Oh, man, game over. We're done. What are we going to do? I'm more like that. Elisha was like, look, man, don't be afraid. It's all good. Lord, help him to see. If I'm the servant, I'm like, see what? I'm seeing fine. I'm seeing we're surrounded. I'm seeing we're outnumbered. I'm seeing we're going to die. I know the king don't like us. all these different things. And see, what happens is too many times we look at just what's right in front of us. And Elisha is sitting there going, it's going to be all right. Now, I know that some of us react differently to things like this. I can remember times of flying with my dad. Don will appreciate this. And we'd be out there. And there were some times that they call it bumpy. You know, little airplane. We're flying around in the mountains of West Virginia. And, oh, it's a little bumpy today. No. That's what Dad would say. Yeah, and you're sitting there going, bouncing around that airplane. There are times I'm like, wait, this ain't supposed to be like this. This is not fun at this point. I'm bouncing all over the place. He's not freaking out. He's just like, oh, it's a little bumpy today. You know, we'll try a different altitude and see if it straightens out. I'm sitting up there freaking out. You know, I've shared before, there have been times I've been on a commercial plane. We hit some of those. You ever hit some of them downdrafts? And by the way, Dallas, I have never been through Dallas without a thunderstorm or something. Every time I have ever been through Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, man, I mean, we're sitting on the, you can't even see the tarmac. It's raining so hard, and you're trying to take off. Bumpy is not the word for it. I felt like I was more in the Challenger that time. We went like straight up trying to get through a hole to get up on top of weather. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little worried. And, you know, I look around, though, and I look at people who know. And I think they are either very intelligent and know what's going on, or they are the complete polar opposite. You picking up what I'm putting down? You take off in that airplane, and everybody's heads look like bobbleheads going back and forth, and the stewardesses are sitting up there. Passenger seatbelt. You know, I've said before, yeah, I love it when the pilot comes on, and he's like, yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is from your flight deck. I'm the captain speaking. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of rough weather, but y'all just hang in there. Once we get up about 40,000 feet, I think things are going to smooth right out. The whole time, you're bouncing all over the place. And I sat back and say, well, you know what? This guy flies this thing every day. He knows what he's doing. So if the pilot's not worried about it, why should I be worried about it? Right? He's got control. The flight attendants aren't having a problem with it. It's a little bumpy. The pilot's not having a problem with it. And I'm sitting back going, then everything must be okay. It must just be me freaking out along with 250 of my closest friends. But they don't seem to be worried about it, and they're in control of the situation. Now, if the pilot comes back on, he goes, everybody get into crash position. I'm starting to get a little worried at this point. If he's freaking out, I'm freaking out. Now, here's the interesting part. In our story today, in our biblical passage, Elisha is not having a Malox moment over this issue. He has just been surrounded by an army, and he's like, but yet his servant is freaking out. He's like, man, are we going to die up here today? Remember what he said. What are we going to do? We're in trouble. What are we going to do? And Elisha calmly offers the prayer, Lord, by the way, one of the coolest parts is he knew exactly where to go. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. You see, the core message of this particular passage is the assurance that God is protecting us and that his resources are always greater than anything that will ever threaten us. You know, I love to be able to say it. I say, you know what? I am invincible until God's done with me. Plain and simple. There is nothing on this planet that is going to take me out of this world 1 second sooner than God already knows about. And let me tell you this as well. There's not one thing on this planet that's going to keep me on this planet 1 second longer than God has planned either. So I kind of go around with a Superman mentality. Spiritually, okay? You know, Dun, da, da, da. Lord, you've called me to serve you. You've called me to go here. You've called me to do this mission. And I am serving you. And nobody can touch me. I am invincible until I preach my last sermon. Until I go on my last mission trip. And people say, well, how do you know when that is? I said, you see Jesus. That's when that is. Now, that's when you're sitting out there. Maybe you're on a mission trip and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, hey, Lord. Well, when that happens, don't y'all worry about me. I'm better off than you in the presence of the Master. And Elijah's servant is scared, man. What are we going to do? You can picture it. You've been there before. Maybe it's been when you had children and the children were little. And maybe a crack of thunder went off like it did at my house. And we were like jumping under furniture yesterday. Man, it was bad. I hadn't heard that in a long time. Sounded like a bomb went off in the yard. And them kids are scared to death. They're like, what are we going to do? And you're sitting over there going, it's all right. It's just some clouds bumping into each other and everything else. You try to comfort them along the way, and they take solace in that comfort. See, even when we cannot visibly see the hand and the work of God, believers can always trust in His ever-present help and protection in our lives. You see, the young servant's reaction is a reflection of our natural reaction. When we get in circumstances and situations like that, what is the natural reaction? The natural reaction to something like danger is simply this. It is fear. We're afraid. See, his question, what shall we do, kind of embodies the panic and the helplessness of that particular moment. And then there's Elisha's calm assurance. That's what I want to hear in the middle of a dark, dark valley. I want to hear, don't be afraid, you know. But then it was kind of, to me, if I would have been the servant, I'd have thought it's a little weird what he said. The do not be afraid, I can understand. Do not fear. But he said, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Wait, what? And I'm sure at this particular point, the servant's going, look, bro, I don't know what you're looking at, but we ain't looking at the same stuff. I don't see us outnumbering them. What are you looking at? Dude, come on, man. I don't see it. I can still remember times when having some of those calls. Like I said, those are probably some of the most fearful moments that I ever spent was as a police officer. And when you go out to the street and there's 600 people out there and you and one other person, you know what your first response is? Hey, is anybody else in my area that can come out here and help a little bit? We are outnumbered 600-2. I can still remember back during some riots, some interesting things that took place. You know, it was one of those things where all of a sudden you're out there on the, you know, on the street and there's a riot and you're trying to keep your head from getting split open and everything else, and they had called in the riot team, and then all of a sudden things changed. All of a sudden you start hearing this clap that sounded like thunder about every second and a half. And all of a sudden everybody on the street stopped, including us, and looked back. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but the Lynchburg, Virginia Police Department riot team in lined formation with shields. Every time their left foot hit the ground, that PL 259 baton hit that shield, and it sounded like thunder coming down that street. And let me tell you something, they wasn't there to play. All of a sudden, those who were creating problems said, you know what? I think we might want to leave this street. I don't think these boys have come to play. Two or three of them, maybe. These cats right here, they got helmets. They got tear gas. They got batons. And they ain't afraid to use them. Look, these cats are in step. It looks like a military army coming down that street. And let me put it to you this way. They were right in their thinking. At that particular point, I'm like, that's right. Them's my boys. Come on down here. You know, we were no longer outnumbered. Now, go back to this scenario. The servant so far cannot see anything except the enemy. Let's pause for just a moment. Let's make some application here. Those times that we walk through those dark valleys, those times when we stand on the cusp of looking out over the horizon and what we see is the enemy. We see the enemy surrounding us, and it looks like we're outnumbered. It looks like there's no hope. It looks like this is going to be the last stand. Now, you've got one of two choices. You can either be in the place of the servant who's going, what are we going to do, man? There's no hope. There's no faith. We're going down. Or you could be in the shoes of Elisha and says, it's all right. Don't be afraid. It's all good. And remember what he told the servant. He's like, it's cool. We outnumber them. Where? I don't see them. Wow. Let's go back to faith for just a moment. What is faith? Faith, the definition of it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing in something even when you can't see it. The servant could not see what God had given Elisha the privilege to see. You know the reason why Elisha was so calm and cool? Because Elisha saw the whole picture. Elisha knew that God was there to protect him, that God would trust him. And Elisha said, my guys are better than your guys. My guys are more than your guys. Now, I don't know how many of them it's going to take to whip y'all, but I know how many we're going to use. And we're going to win. Well, Elisha said, those who are with us are more than those with them. And that's that challenges the servant to see beyond the physical reality. Now, I want to pause right here for just a second because there's something I want to say, and I want you to hear me well. Too many times we don't think about the unseen spiritual world that is at work around us and in our lives. You all have heard this thing called spiritual warfare, correct? You've heard where the Lord tells us that we are to take on the full armor of God. And let me tell you why. Christian, you are in a battle in this life today. There are spiritual forces. There are angels and demons. You call me whatever you want to, but the Bible refers to them. They are in and about our lives right now. There is a realm of unseen world that you and I aren't seeing with our two eyes today that are influencing us. There are demons that are oppressing Christian people. There are angels who are watching over us each and every day. We don't see them. You know what oftentimes we do? We get mad and say a few choice words because we had a flat tire. Yeah, sometimes I believe an angel will give you a flat tire so it'll keep you out of that major crash just down the road. I believe there are times that things happen in that world that we don't see. And too often we're not thinking about the spiritual warfare aspect of things. And Elisha's servant could not see beyond the physical realm, much like you and I. But Elisha prayed for his servant's eyes to be open. And that is a request for a spiritual awakening. You know what? I believe each and every one of us need a spiritual awakening in our lives. We have been so distracted. Just a few weeks ago, I preached about the fact that we've been distracted even by good stuff. Good stuff can distract us. Doing ministry can distract us from actually being good ministers. And worship, what is in it? Listen, it's time for us to get a little spiritually selfish and say, what is in this for me? You need to be worshiping. If you are spending more time serving than you are worshiping, you've got it backwards. We're distracted. And what's happened is if we're too busy, if Satan can keep us too busy looking upon these things that are right here in our vision and not looking at the spiritual side of things, then he'll win. This is a spiritual awakening moment. When God answered this prayer, the servant sees the true reality. I like how the scripture puts it at times where it says, you ever seen the times where it says the scales fall off of his eyes? You know, like Paul, you know, Saul/Paul. Yeah, the scales dropped off his eyes. He could see again. I think a lot of times there are some spiritual scales. And when this prayer was prayed by Elisha, all of a sudden, when the servant lifted up his eyes and scanned the horizon, he saw something completely different than what he had seen before. You see, this time he was looking through the spiritual lens, not the earthly lens. Now, see, you and I need to put on our spiritual glasses to see through the spiritual lens. When God answered that prayer, the servant sees the true reality that there was this immense host of divine warriors that were protecting them. And they were represented by horses and chariots of fire. I will guarantee you something. It doesn't state it in this particular scripture, but I have a feeling that the enemy saw them. I have a feeling that the enemy was sitting back going, I don't think we need to mess with these boys. And I will make you a promise that if there ever was the appearance of the biggest, baddest warrior soldier you ever saw, they were on Elisha's team. Sitting there ready for battle going, come on, jump. I dare you. My job, I've been created to be a warrior of the Most High, and I'm ready for action. The Lord has us here to protect Elisha and his servant. And if you're going to get to them, you're going to have to come over us. And I don't think you got it in you. Oh, guess what? Do you know the God that we serve today is the same God that Elisha and his servant were serving back then? Do you know the same promise in the way that he showed up for Elisha and his servant? The Lord shows up for you and I as well. I can tell you that I know of some things in my life that I can't explain how or why the tide turned, other than the fact that I give credit to God Almighty for it. I don't know why it turned, but it turned in my favor, and it turned quickly. You know, sometimes I think that there was my big, bad guardian angel standing over my shoulder at times, and when things were getting tough, that guardian angel kind of looked at the enemy and went, move on. And they went. Because let me tell you what it's not. It wasn't because Roy was big, bad, and brutal. It was because the God that I serve stepped in. Many times, I can't explain. See, in our lives today, we often face situations that seem overwhelming. Situations that seem insurmountable. And like Elisha's servant, we may feel outnumbered, and we may feel vulnerable in those situations. And this passage encourages us to seek the divine perspective. Have you ever noticed that it depends on perspective? Perspective means a lot, doesn't it? You know, and a good way to kind of mention that today is, you know, you've always heard this. You can look at the glass as being half full, or you can look at the glass as being half empty. It just depends on your perspective. You know, are you a glass is half full kind of person, or a glass is half empty kind of person? You see, you don't have to answer that question to me, but the good Lord knows. I know people in my life that glass has not only been half empty, they have willed it down to being totally empty and dried out. But I've also known people in my life that said, oh boy, I'll tell you one thing, a person could stay alive for a week on that in the desert if they rationed it. They look at the positive in everything. Where are you? Are you looking at life through the lens of a divine perspective? Are you trusting in God's invisible resources that are at work on your behalf? Through prayer, through faith, we can ask God to open our eyes to see His power, to see His presence, especially in times of crisis. Are we doing that? Lord, things don't look good. Lord, I know You know what's going on. Lord, I know You're here. And Father, I know that You see things that I can't see. You're providing things that I can't see. But God, help me to look through the divine lens of who You are in Your Word. And Lord, encourage me. Give me encouragement. Give me strength for the journey, to walk through the dark times knowing that there is an entourage of the Lord's help among us, around us, and oftentimes out in front of us. I can't wait someday in heaven to have a chat with some of those angels along the way and say, look, listen, I know you got a story, angel, and I know you were kind of assigned to some of my cases. Why don't you tell me about what was going on? You know, here was a time in my life when I was a little uptight and a little bit upset, and then the angel's going to start telling you all these kind of things, and you're going to be going, wow. I can even say that backwards. Wow. Stuff that you never knew about. The way that God protected you. Often we kind of see the thing about footprints in the sand. We've seen that poem many, many times. The times when maybe we think God's not there with us, when all the while God is the one that's carrying us in those tough, tough moments in life. He's never left us. You see, at times we don't see that. You see the story of Elisha and his servants reminds us of a very, very profound truth, and that's that God's protection is not always visible to the human eye, but it is real and it is very, very present. The challenge for us is to have enough faith that moves beyond what we can see so we can rest in the assurance of God's sovereignty. I can't remember the story. Some of you all may have read it. Steve may remember it and be able to help my brain out. But I can still remember it was a story of a missionary many, many years ago that they were among a tribe that were pretty much headhunters, cannibals. And that particular night, there was the drums. They surrounded the camp of the missionaries, and the missionaries began to pray. And you know, for some odd reason, back home, those who were loved ones and church members and family members were awakened in the middle of the night by the Spirit and said, you pray. Pray for this team. Pray for these missionaries. And they did. They hit their knees and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And by morning, nothing had happened. The drums had ceased. And later on, as the opportunity to get to know the tribe and be closer, one of the missionaries was talking with the chief and asked about that moment many, many months ago, about when they had surrounded the camp. And he said, what did you all do that for? I mean, yeah, you surround, was it just to intimidate or to scare us? And the chief said, no. The chief said, we were going to attack and kill each and every one of the you missionaries that night. And he said, but what stopped us was the army that was protecting you. Boy, that speaks right here. You see, the enemy saw what God was doing for those missionaries. The missionaries didn't see it. They were sitting there going, I don't know what's going to happen. These drums are beating. These are savages. They're going to come after us. They didn't see what was going on, but the enemy did. The enemy saw that camp fortified and protected that night. And there was no way they were going to make that attack. And thus they didn't. The missionary talked to the people back home and remembered the time. And, you know, they said, well, you know, you were on my heart last night and I was praying for you. You ever had that happen to you? Lord puts somebody on your heart and you start praying for them. I believe with all my being, there's a reason for that, and they need that prayer. Because I believe with all of my heart that maybe the face of every soul back home that was praying for them became a warrior that stood guard that day, that was ready to go to battle. And the Lord said, these are mine. It's going to be bad news if you come after them tonight, because you will die. And therefore they didn't. The challenge for us is, can we have enough faith? Faith that moves beyond what we can see. Remember what the definition is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can we trust in the unseen hand of the Father? And can we rest in the assurance that God is with us? No matter what. Sometimes we really need to see that, don't we? Yeah, sometimes we have to sit back and remember what the Lord said when he said, faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. We ain't trying to move no mountains. When I read that, sometimes I question, boy, man, my faith must be awful. If I don't have that much faith that you could put it on the tip of your finger. But see, sometimes you get in positions where you have to trust the Lord. Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn. But you know, it's so ironic to me that I've used that statement and believe it with all my heart, because at times when people will say, well, don't you worry about going, you know, on mission trips to third world countries and communist places and things like that. And really in my heart, I say, no, I don't. And they're like, well, how could you not be concerned about that? I said, let me tell you how I cannot be concerned. Because God called me to go do this. And if God called me to go do this, God will bring me through this. And they've said, well, what happens if you wind up in jail or you get arrested or something? I'm like, well, then apparently there is a prison guard or somebody who needs to hear about Jesus. I mean, remember, Paul and Silas got beat to the point where they had stripes across their back, all because one guard in a prison needed to hear about Jesus. And because they were faithful, that prison guard and his family will have an opportunity to chat with one day when we get to heaven. What is the worth and the price of a soul? I am Superman till God's done with me. Ain't no kryptonite around, but so are you. Can we look through the spiritual eye? May we be more like Elisha. And when the world says, what are we going to do? You can sit back and go, it's all good. Those that are for us outnumber those that are against us. Now they will look at you like you have three heads. Just like the servant looked around going, I don't know what he's looking at. But see, remember, Elisha had to pray, Lord, let him see. And then he did, and he was like, oh! I get it. Wow, I didn't know we had that kind of backup. Oh, yeah, you got that kind of backup. You've got that kind of backup because God loves you. So what are the questions boil down to today that we need to answer in our hearts and lives? First of all, is he your father? Does he call you by name? Has there been that time in your life when you have said, Lord, I know I am a sinner. And I know that if things don't change right now, if I drew my last breath, I would spend eternity in hell. If the trumpet sounded, you know, I might have a chance, you know, during the tribulation, but I don't want to have to go through that, Lord. I want to make sure it's right here. But Lord, I believe in what Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Sin, death, and hell don't have any power over you. So, Lord, today I confess to you I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Father, I'm asking you to save my soul and then help me live for you. Is that you? If it is, listen, right, whatever you're doing right now, stop what you're doing and just simply pray. See, prayer is communication with God. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need Jesus as my Savior. Lord, save my soul and help me serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you did that, that's the handshake. That's not, you, don't just sit back and go, oh, I'm going to heaven now. I mean, salvation. That's just the beginning. The Lord wants you to walk with him and talk with him and have that relationship like your best bud. The one that never leaves you nor forsakes you. The one that walks in the valley of the shadow of death with you. Get to know him. He's cool, I'll tell you that. If you did that, in just a moment we have our invitation to him. Listen, please come up here and let me know. I want to celebrate with you. I get all giggly and giddy and everything else. I pray that when the Lord calls me home, I still have the excitement then that I have today and even when I started preaching for him 33 years ago. It never gets old. I just want to celebrate with you. And I want to help you in those steps in following him. So in just a moment, we start to sing. You come down here and just say, hey, Pastor Roy, listen, I accepted Jesus today. It's going to be cool. And we're going to celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and you have just been more the servant than Elisha. And you're going through life going, what are we going to do? And you need some spiritual vision and some spiritual perspective. Listen, I pray that God will give you that today. I pray that he will give you peace. And you know, just go to him and say, Lord, I need to see more than I do right now. And Lord, even if I don't get a chance to see, I need my faith to be strengthened enough to where I know that even though I can't see that vast army, they're there and you're there. Do you have that kind of faith? Maybe we just need to say one of the greatest spiritual prayers of all. Are you ready for this one? Lord, I'm just jacked up. I don't even know what to do. I don't know where I am. All I know is I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I need to be walking closer to you. Will you help me, Father? Here's the coolest part. He will. What's he put on your heart today? Listen, I'll be down here. Don't delay. The Lord's already been speaking to your heart. If you've been listening to him, the Holy Spirit's already told you what he wanted you and needed you to know through the word today, through the music today, through everything. The question is, what are you going to do with it? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open it, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He doesn't say he goes in and kicks the door of your heart down and barges in. What are you going to do with the knock of Jesus at your heart's door? That's on you. Listen, here's something I know as a pastor. As a pastor, one day I will stand before the Lord and I will answer for every sermon I've ever preached. I will answer for every opportunity that I ever had to share Jesus. And I will also answer for every failed opportunity. Word says, if I fail to do what God has called and asked me to do, then the blood of other souls will be on my hands. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to stand before my Savior with clean hands. You need Jesus. The choice is yours. Listen, I want to see you there. It's going to be the best reunion ever. I've got loved ones on the other side that I can't wait to see. I got church members that we have buried that I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see Ben again. I can't wait to get a hug from Ben. We have walked in battle together. And they have come out victorious. They're there. And they're waiting on me. It's going to be a great day. Don't you dare ever want me back when you hear I'm gone. I ain't coming back, I'll tell you. I ain't coming back, but you can come be where I am. And you're all invited. What will you do with the invitation of the Master? Now's the time as we stand to sing our invitation hymn number 320 as Brad comes to lead us. Your heads are bowed as your eyes are closed as you continue to do business with the Father. Don't let the moment of the Holy Spirit speaking to you elude you today. Don't let Satan win. Don't let him keep you in your place. You surrender to what it is God's put in your heart. You deal with it right now. Don't say, I'll do it later. Do it now. Today is the day. Today is the appointed time. As you continue to seek the Father, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, once again, we're at another point of worship as we return to you the tithe and the offering that you have so graciously and richly blessed us with. Father, I pray that we would be found faithful, that you may bless us and bless us in an indeed spiritual, supernatural spiritual way. But Lord, we also pray as a church that you will give us wisdom to be good stewards of what belongs to you, that it might be used for your kingdom. So, Father, bless the gift as well as the giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I was about to break out in song. To God be the glory. Okay. That might have scared everybody off, but that'd be at the end, so I should have probably gone ahead and done that. Anyway, let me give you a couple things, then we'll get you out of here. We just now hit 12 o'clock, so my person that put my sign up here, we're good. So at any rate, we don't have any birthdays or anniversaries that we need to celebrate. What? Darren's having one tomorrow. Well, happy birthday, brother. I'll tell you one thing. It's rough turning 30, isn't it? What can I say, man? It is so good to have you guys with us. Melissa, I just want to tell you something. At times, people have sat back and said, well, that was good. It wasn't good. First of all, it was fantastic. But more than that, it was a blessing. Thank you for sharing with us today. And Carl's got a birthday coming up?
Tomorrow.
Lord have mercy. How did we miss Carl? Give Carl a hand. All right, listen, Carl, to make it up for you, here's what I want to happen. I want every lady in this room to go by and give Carl a birthday hug before he leaves, because that will make his day. Kelly's was last Sunday. Kelly, just hang out with your pop, so you might get a little, you might get a little shrapnel there. But anyway, we love, yes. Fred's is tomorrow also. You guys have not filled out our information properly. We got to get to know that. Tim, are you making notes of this stuff? Okay. Fred Pinson's is tomorrow as well. It's in the bulletin. What bulletin? You know what? Hey, listen, we do the best we can around here, but here's the really cool part about it. It's all okay when we help each other out, right? See, we need each other. So, obviously, we would not want to overlook any of these folks. Mr. Carl, I know Kelly's was last week, Fred's, Darren's. Hey, bro, listen, if you're a born-again believer, you're a brother. So, we celebrate you as well. Thank you guys again for joining us. Just a couple of things that we have. In lieu of the no birthdays that I said we had that I was completely wrong about. There we go, transparency. Just a couple things. There will not be a choir or band practice today, okay? Y'all getting a little bit of a break. Jim probably letting some of the band recover from their 4th of July thing, you know, probably winded. But no choir or band practice tonight. There will be 6 o'clock p.m. Bible study with Pastor David, room 5 down the hall there. The building and grounds meeting for today has been canceled. I like to say postponed. It'll be held on a different date. So no building and grounds meeting today. For the ladies, your next ladies connection is August the 6th at 4 o'clock p.m. in Family Life Center 116. And then your monthly breakfast is going to be August the 14th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. So just to kind of put that, make those mental notes of those, hold those dates. And then choir practice is going to return on August the 3rd at 4:30 in the sanctuary, kind of coming off a summer, a little bit of a summer break for you guys. So that will be on the 3rd of August, beginning at 4:30. So go ahead and start making plans for that. And then finally, I just want to make sure that we mention that the policies and procedures, been working on this now for quite some time. I think there's a copy of that in the narthex out there. That's the fancy way of saying vestibule. Pick that up, particularly if you are a chairman, and look over the areas that specifically are towards you. Look over all of it if you want to. If you would like a copy of this, contact the office. We can get you a copy, but we didn't want to use 40 cases of paper, printing all the policies and procedures, but look over those. If you have questions, I'm begging you. David's begging you. If you have questions, talk to your chairman, talk to the office, call somebody. Get your questions answered before we go into the business meeting to approve this. That gives us time to fix those things if there are things that need to be fixed. Plus, the meeting is right after church at our regular August business meeting, and you won't eat until supper time if you do that. So get your questions answered soon. We will get those answered. Sometimes people just have a question. Sometimes there may be something that needs corrected. Let us know that so we can have that prepared as we go into our August business meeting, okay? I'm sure, yeah. Oh, Friday and Saturday, there's going to be a cleaning crew that is going to be, I'll call it doing a deep clean of the gymnasium floor. So please, if you have anything that needs to go on, don't do that on Friday and Saturday, because they're going to be in there deep cleaning that particular floor. There's there's also going to be some paint, some floor waxing, cleaning, those sorts of things that are going on over in that building, particularly throughout next week, maybe a little bit more. So at any rate, thank you guys so much for everything. We love you. I'm going to ask you to pray about something. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I actually have had a personal invitation to travel with a group to Israel in September. And Steve Kelly may be going with me. This is actually being paid for by the group that has invited us. We will actually have opportunities to meet with political leaders, including Benjamin Netanyahu. We will be representing the Christian clientele there. We will be among the folks over there. We will go to these places. There will be humanitarian as well as mission opportunities. And I like the way they say it. It is not a vacation. So we're looking forward to that. I'm asking you to pray about that. So, I've been approved. Now, like I say, I just found out that Steve would go with me today was able to invite him with connections that he has as well as the skills of the counseling and whatnot that he has. So we're going to try to see if we can get him on this trip. That's my aim. That way I'll have a travel buddy. That's coming up in the middle of September. And I know people are going, oh, geez, there's at war. Blah. There's like, yeah, you know what? I want to see where Jesus walked, man. I want to see where my boss grew up. Yeah, that's the way it goes. I've always wanted to do that. And to have an opportunity to do it at no charge and represent him, wow, what an answer to prayer. So pray for us about that, and we'll let you know a little bit more as the details unfold on that. So, man, I love you. The Spirit was here today. Thank you, guys. Roger, I hope you and Don Ree had a great, great anniversary. 71 years Friday that they have spent together. I was thinking about you, brother. I was praying for you, and both of you have been blessed indeed. You have been an example to each and every one of us about what a good Christian godly marriage looks like. I want to thank you publicly for that. You guys mean so much to us. Thank you for your example and your steadfastness. Pastor David, if you would, come on up, see us off in a word of prayer. Everybody, don't forget, hug Carl before he gets out the door, because it's his birthday coming up.
Some of you guys might want to do that too. I don't know. One thing. 10 days from now, July the 30th, Wednesday night, those who worked at Camp Carefree, we're going to have an appreciation dinner for you. It's not going to be here at the church. It's going to be down at Country Barbecue off of 68. Go under the underpass down there, up over the hill by the Napa place, turn right, and go in one block, turn left, and you'll find it. The meal's going to not cost you anything. You can order from the menu and get what you want. We just want that time to be together, and we need to do it this month. So the only thing I need for you to do is there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer today. Sign up if you plan to be there, and we'll just look forward to spending some time eating. You don't have to eat barbecue. They do have hot dogs, hamburgers, and plate lunches. You know, you can get meatloaf, mashed potatoes, green beans, whatever you want. If you're just one of them people that just can't eat barbecue, I haven't met many of them yet. But anyway, we welcome you to come. If you've worked at Camp Carefree, we'll talk about next year's plans a little bit too. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we've had of being in your house, Lord. We count it a privilege of being able to be here, for the opportunity to worship you, to sing your praises, to hear your word taught. God, we pray that as we leave this place today, we will take what we've experienced and we will share it with the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.